All right, good evening, everyone. So we're going to focus a little bit this week in Yiratzah Hashem on Parshas Shemini. So let's take a look at number one. Vayichu b'nei Aaron. Remember again, just to give a little bit of context, so Parshas Shemini, as we know, begins on the eighth day of the Miluim, the eighth day of the consecration. Remember, the consecration of the Mishkan itself was a process that spanned a significant amount of time, but there were 8 days where the Mishkan was officially and totally inaugurated and consecrated for service. So Parshas Shemini begins Bayom HaShemini, on the eighth day. The eighth day was significant because the eighth day represents the switch. For the first 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu is acting in the capacity as the Kohen Gadol, as the high priest. And on day eight is effectively when Moshe Rabbeinu hands over those reins to Aaron and to his sons. So our shir tonight is sponsored by Abe and Sylvia Zeltzer for a complete and permanent refuah shalema from Hashem for Yitzchak Meir Ben Sivya. And we hope that in the merit of our communal Talmud Torah, he indeed has a complete and enduring refuah. So let's begin with number one. Vayichu b'nei Aaron Nadav Aviv ishmach taso. So Nadav and Aviv, the two sons of Aaron, each took their fire pan. Vayitnu bahen eish. They placed fire on top of it. Vayasimu aleha ketoras. And they placed incense on it. Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem eish zara. Asher lo tziva oso. And they brought before HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally an alien fire, an unscripted offering that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not commanded them to do. So the Torah then goes on. Vateitze eish melifnei Hashem, a fire came out from before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vatochal osam, consumed them. Vayamusu lifnei Hashem. And they ultimately died in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Torah then goes on. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron. Moshe said to Aaron, Hu asher diber Hashem, this is what God said when he said, Bikrovai akadesh, I will be sanctified by those who are near to me. Va'al pnei kol ha'amecha beit, and before all the people I will be glorified. Vayidom Aaron. And Aaron was silent. So often when looking at this particular section, what gets the greatest amount of attention is the sin of Nadav and Aviv. That's often the focus. What exactly did they do? Right? What was the nature of their chet? What was the nature of their aver? So the truth is, we're not going to focus on that tonight, because for our purposes this evening, we could just simply go with the simple reading of the text. What did they do? They brought literally ketores. They brought incense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not command. God commands certain types of incense offering. They brought something different. They brought something additional. Simply, they're not allowed to do that, and therefore the punishment is swift and severe. Instead of what I want to draw your attention to is the reaction of Aaron HaKohen. Vayidom Aaron. Aaron was silent. What I'd like to try to analyze tonight is what is the meaning. There's really two parts to the analysis. Number one, how are we to understand Aaron's emotional reaction? What is the message within his reaction? Meaning, what are we to learn about Aaron from this reaction? And the truth is, of course, as we always ask ourselves, what is the meaning for us? Is there some type of deeper message that the Torah is conveying to us by telling us what Aaron's emotional response? Because remember again, Torah is not a storybook. So the Torah does not need to tell me how Aaron dealt with this loss or didn't deal with this loss. The only reason the Torah would give me this information is why? Because there is some type of important eternal lesson for the reader to glean from Aaron's reactions. So what is the meaning of Vayidom Aaron? So let's go through a number of different approaches. Take a look first at number two. The Rabbeinu Bechaye gives the simplest source. Rabbeinu Bechaye writes, Vayidom Aaron, Hashtiko achos mi mishpatei ha'avelos. Silence is a function, is a part of loss. Sometimes when a person suffers a loss, even before what? Even before they begin to cry, there's often like a feeling of just being stunned. Stunned, you know, it's no different. You know, sometimes if you see your child falls down. So there's that moment when the child falls down, the child realizes, oh, I just fell down. And like they're quiet. And then only afterwards, when they process what exactly happened, then they cry. So it says Rabbi Bechaye, when a person unfortunately suffers loss, and especially traumatic loss, people often assume the first reaction is crying. It's not true, says Rabbi Bechaye. The first reaction is silence. Silence. What should I do with this? How should I process this? I don't even know how to react yet. And in fact, if you look at number three, Rabbi Sachs writes in an essay from a few years ago, he says, I don't remain silent, lost in a grief too deep. I'm sorry, it's a spelling error. Too deep for words. That what does Vayidom Aaron mean? Again, it's nothing really to analyze. Torah is just telling us that Aaron, as great as he was as a human being as well, and how do human beings deal with profound, tragic, traumatic loss? The first reaction is, I don't even know what to do with this. I don't even know how to do with this. I don't even know, should I cry? So therefore, again, Vayidom Aaron, Aaron essentially is in a state of shock. That initial shock is mimishpatei avelos, is part of the normal mourning process. Okay, take a look at number two. In the Sefer HaKsav VaHaKabbalah, and you have a little bit of a biography over here, of Yaakov Tzvi of Mecklenburg, writes the following. He says, Vayidom Aaron, v'domein inyon aloshon siluk. So he says, domein could also be a wording of verbiage that means to remove one's self. What does that mean? V'kibol hadavar bepshitos nimratz, b'li ir or upikbuk. It could also mean to accept something without question. To accept something. Vayidom means, I have no response, not because I'm stunned, not because I'm shocked, like Rabin Bechai said, but why? There's nothing for me to say. What happened, happened, and I accept it with a full heart. Umizeh Amar Khan, therefore, says Ksav HaKabbalah, this is why we say over here, Vayidom Aaron, Magid Shvacho Shel Aaron. The Torah is coming to teach us the praise of Aaron. Shehayashosek Beratzon Gomor, Shave Bidato, Belo Shum Ir Ur Al Hamikra She'iralo. Aaron says the Ksav HaKabbalah has no tainus, has no complaints against the Ribono Shel Olam. I accept what you've done without question, without objection. Which leads us to, again, the domain. The silence is an absence of any questioning, an absence of any objection. Which then, of course, leads us to a simple question, which is, you could ask it, it's okay. Hey, how? How can you, what does that mean? Aaron is a tzaddik, but remember, it's very important to realize, tzaddikim are people also. Although often there's a very big push to deify tzaddikim, right? To go ahead and say that the righteous people, tzaddikim are regular people also. And Aaron HaKohen is a great man, but Aaron HaKohen just saw his two sons struck down in such a dramatic, tragic fashion in the prime of their lives. You telling me he has no questions? He has no questions. He doesn't want to understand at least why. He doesn't want to understand what the message is. He doesn't understand what revolution, what's your intention with this? Especially, again, if you go with the simple reading of the text, it's not like they didn't have, I mean, they committed an Avera. But what was the Avera? What was the Avera? The Avera was a form of service of God. They offered up guitars. They offered up incense. So you're telling me that Aaron has no shyness, no questions, no complaints against the Ribono Shel Olam? What does it mean that Aaron just, Vayidom Aaron, he accepts the entire episode in totality? So if you take a look at number five, I think we have to dig a little bit deeper with this. The Meshech Chachma writes something, a very profound Meshech Chachma. V'asher diber Hashem limor b'kravai HaKadosh v'apneh kol ha'am ha'chaved. Perush, ki misasam haya hechrechi avur. So says the Meshech Chachma begins with a premise. Nadav and Avihu had to die. Nadav and Avihu were going to die. That was the plan from the beginning. Now, what does that mean? That Nadav and Avihu, hechrich means it had to happen. What does that mean? Shekala omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu vatran hu, yivatru me'ohi. The Gemara Baba Kama says that anyone who says that God is a vatran. Now, what is a vatran? You know, there's a midah of vatranos. So vatranos means what? To give in. You forgive. You forgive. Whoever says that God always forgives, literally the Gemara says, his insides should spill out. Now, what does that mean? There's a very interesting, you know, we're familiar with the concept of tshuva. So tshuva means that we have the ability to go ahead and repent. We have the ability to mend our ways. But just because you do tshuva does not mean that there is not fallout from the negative actions or negative behaviors that I've engaged in. You know, there is a certain cause and effect in this world. And when you do certain things, there are repercussions for those events. And even if you do tshuva, again, there are different levels of tshuva, you might be forgiven, but the repercussions are still going to be felt. So the Meshech Chachma says, a good example of this is the Chet Egel, the sin of the golden calf. The sin of the golden calf was so severe that even once there was divine forgiveness, there had to be divine repercussions. Look what he says. We sinned with the golden calf, and as a result, we lost our standing. The cloud went away. And for a little while, we lost our entire standing as the Am HaNivchar, as the chosen people. Moshe, So what happens? Then there's tshuva. What was the tshuva? Moshe Rabbeinu intercedes on our behalf. We took gold and we use it to build a golden calf. We rehabilitate our material lives. How? By taking our gold and donating it to the Mishkan. And we build the Mishkan. And we appoint Kohanim. And a fire comes down from the heavens to the Mishkan, ultimately representing the fact that God is going to reside within this structure. It says in Meshech Chachma, you might have thought, Im ken yomar Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nach l'ratos, ukirega chish kal yisnachim al ara, v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu vatranu. So you would think after seeing all of these events that what? God has forgiven and forgotten. We are past the ego. Baruch Hashem, God is back. The cloud is back. The Shekhinah is back. The Mishkan is up. Everything is good. Our sins have been forgiven. Lachain, hayot sarich laharos ki lo machshevo samach shavos Hashem isbarach. Ulaharos binyan kama od ashev yom chatunaso v'huk mo l'kohan l'mishars b'beis Hashem avur davar echad asher lo tziva nisra falifnei Hashem ulaharos kama godol kocha shalaveira. So it says Meshech Chachma something amazing. There's a little bit of a quid pro quo, tit for tat, mida k'neged mida. You know, the Gemara, I think I mentioned this before, the Gemara compares the Cheta Egel to a kala, to a bride, who has an affair with another man underneath her chuppah. So we could not imagine a more immoral event happening. Right as she's supposed to begin a sacred life with her new husband, she does something totally illicit and immoral. So Chazal say, that's what Chet HaEgel was like. So Sar Sinai was the chuppah with us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what do we do while we're standing under the chuppah? We build an ego. So says the Meshech Chachma, when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish us for the Chet HaEgel? At the second chuppah. When was the second chuppah? Bayom HaShmini. The day of the consecration of the Mishkan. That was the day, ultimately, again, where we had our second chuppah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're about to reconsecrate, reinvigorate the bond between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's on that day, says the Meshech Chachma, that the punishment for the Chet HaEgel is handed down. And he goes on, he says, V'zeh she'amar bikrovai HaKadosh al pnei kol ha'am ha'chabed era kavodi li'Yisrael. So, okay, so the Meshech Chachma essentially highlights a very dramatic idea. Number one, that there are some events that are so profoundly bad that even when you do tshuva, that even when you say you're sorry, at the end of the day, there are going to be repercussions for those events, and those repercussions are going to be felt no matter how, you know, to give you examples of this. Okay, so there are certain things that you do that you can't take back. So, for example, the paradigmatic example of this is Lashon Hara, right? That's what the Rambam says, that Lashon Hara is one of the most difficult averos to do tshuva from, because you can't undo what you've done. Once you put something out for public consumption, you can't bring it back. Another example, Chil Hashem. A person desecrates the name of God. There are certain things that no matter how sorry you are afterwards, you are left with the residual effects of the negative act. The Meshech Chachma posits that that is what happened with the sin of the golden calf. We committed adultery under the chuppah with the Ribono Shel Olam. Says the Meshech Chachma, you can't just undo something like that. There's going to be a punishment. There's going to be an onesh. There's going to be a ripple effect. And the ripple effect he suggests is felt on the day of the second chuppah, the inauguration of the Mishkan, and that was the death of Nadav and Avihu. The death of Nadav and Avihu, which is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially says, well, what's the message that's being communicated, is that spirituality, relationship with God, has boundaries, right? What was the real sin of the golden calf? What was the real sin of the golden calf? That people went beyond the normative boundaries of worship of God. There's a framework. You know, part of the tension we have in Judaism is, on one hand, we stress individuality, but on the other hand, individuality must be expressed within a structured framework. The moment that you begin to express your Judaic individuality outside of the structured framework, you're not in Judaism anymore. You're in your own religion. You're in something that you've invented yourself. The mistake of the golden calf was not just simply idolatry or immorality. It was the fact that the Klal Yisrael went outside of the framework. What did Nadav and Avihu do on the eighth day? What do? They operated outside of the framework. They brought something that they were not supposed to bring. They operated outside of the framework, and therefore, again, they are quickly and decisively punished. So Meshech Chachma says, but their punishment is not a standalone punishment. Perhaps had that event occurred in a standalone vacuum, perhaps they wouldn't have been punished so severely. But their punishment, says the Meshech Chachma, comes as the final chapter of the episode of the Golden Calf. Now, this makes the whole story much more dramatic. So now, let's assume for a moment that Aaron understands this. Let's assume for a moment that Aaron himself, who was there for the episode of the Golden Calf, now understands that his son's death is somehow related to that event. Now, Aaron's relationship with the Golden Calf is a very interesting one. If you take a look at number 6, the beginning of this week's parasha, the Torah says, "Vayomer el Aaron, kach lecha egel." God says, excuse me, Moshe says to Aaron, take for yourself an eagle, take for yourself a calf, eagle ben bakar lechatos, v'ayeli olot tmimim v'hakir lifnei Hashem. So bring all these karbanos. So Rashi points out over here, it's interesting, we don't find an eagle, we often don't find a calf being offered as a karban. So what's the meaning of this karban? Look what Rashi says. Number 7, kach lecha eagle, lohodia shemechaper lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yidei eagle zeh, al ma'aseh ha'egel sha'asa. Aaron was told to bring an egel, was told to bring a calf. Why? Because again, Moshe said God is communicating to you that he forgives you for what you did with the golden calf. Now, we see this theme play out along the course of the parasha. Take a look at number 8. Vayomer Moshe Aaron, kirav el ha-mizbeach. Moshe has to urge Aaron, come close to the mizbeach, assume your role as the Kohen Gadol. Why is Aaron reticent? Look at number 9, Rashi's Kravala Mizbeach, Shahaya Aaron Bosh, Viar the Geshes. The fact that Moshe has to go, has to encourage Aaron, no, come close, indicates to us what? Aaron wasn't coming close. Why wasn't Aaron coming close? Take a look at number 10. Back to Parashas Kisisa, by the actual sin of the golden calf, Vayigov Hashem Esa'am. This is after they built the calf. The Torah says, the Lord struck the people with a plague. Why? Al asher asu es ha'egel, asher asa Aaron. Because they made the calf that Aaron made. Now, what's intriguing about this? The Torah calls the golden calf what? Aaron's golden calf. What an interesting way. Now, true, Aaron made the golden calf. Remember, Aaron did make it. Look at number 11. Says the Arachayim, asher asa Aaron, sarach lada'as le'ize inyan arazeh. Why does the Torah have to call the golden calf the calf of Aaron? Meaning, at the end of the day, it was Aaron's idea, but the truth is, Aaron was doing it as a stalling mechanism. Aaron was hoping to buy some time until Moshe got back. So why do you call it Aaron's calf? Can you imagine? Poor Aaron HaKohen. For all eternity now, the golden calf is known as his calf. Says the Arachayim, why? V'ulai shehikpid Hashem al shegarmu la'aron kadosh Hashem lachto. Ki chait adam gadol lo yiye kichot asayach be'alav Hashem ma'od. Says the Archaim Kadosh something amazing. Because the Ribono Shel Olam held Aaron accountable for building the calf. At the end of the day, Aaron, you could have stopped it. At the end of the day, you could have stood up. At the end of the day, you could have said no. I understand your intention was not to build a calf that would be worshipped. Your intention was not to build a calf that would be turned into a deity. But you did it. You chose to engage in that course of action, and therefore, says Yerachayim HaKadosh, the Torah calls the calf, Aaron's calf, to show what? Aaron bears an incredible degree of responsibility for what happened. Now, if we bring this all together, we see a very dramatic understanding of Vayidom Aaron. Aaron just hears that his two sons were just died in the Mishkan because they brought Ketores. Aaron very quickly understands that what, like the Meshech Chachma said, that what is their death related to? What is it related to? The sin of the golden calf, the Chayta Egel. Because again, as much as God restored his presence within the midst of the camp, as much as God resumed the relationship, it was too severe of an event for it to go unpunished. So Aaron understands that his sons represent the kapara, represent the atonement. They are the sacrificial lamb for the people, for the sin of the golden calf. And the moment that Aaron realizes that his sons are the sacrificial lambs to atone for the sin of the golden calf, what else does he realize in that very same moment? That what? That he bears some responsibility. that I bear responsibility for the calf. And if I bear responsibility for the calf, then what does that mean? Then that means in some way, in some form, I what? I bear responsibility for the death of my children as well. Vayidom Aaron. Aaron is silent. You're right. There are no questions against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember again how this whole thing started? It started again with Ksava Kabbalah in number 4. So Rav Mecklenburg writes that Aaron, Vayidom Aaron means Aaron accepted everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him. Absolute acceptance without any objection, without any question. You know why there's no objection, there's no questions? Because Aaron has no complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aaron has no questions on God. Who does Aaron have incredible difficult feelings towards?
Himself.
Vayidom Aaron, he's quiet because he quickly realizes that if my son's died as an atonement for the sin of the golden calf, that means I am partially, or at least in some part, responsible for what occurred to them because I had a very dominant role in the whole episode of the golden calf. So he accepts the Ratzon Hashem because the complaint, again, no objections against God, but rather, again, an absolute silence in the face of God. And we can only imagine an incredible feeling of immeasurable pain as a parent who feels some level of responsibility for the loss of his children. Take a look at the next approach. I actually want to go a little bit out of order. Turn to number 18. So I'm going to go a little bit out of order. I want to do approach number 4 as approach number 3. So take a look over here. So the Ramban says, Vayidom Aaron. So again, remember, we're just exploring various different options. So take a look. So first of all, before we go on to this, so understand right now, we already have two major approaches. First approach, Rabbeinu Bechai, Rabbi Sachs, is Vayidom Aaron is what? What? Avelus. That's mourning. Perhaps the initial stage, the initial reaction to loss is silence. Approach number 2, Rav Mecklenburg, the Meshech Chachma and others explain that what's happening of Vayidom Aaron, because he realizes that he bears responsibility in this event. Because he realizes that he bears responsibility in this event, he accepts that which God did with absolute faith. Ribon Shalom, we got ourselves into this mess. This is now the fallout from the mistakes that I made, and therefore I accept what you do. 18, says the Ramban, Vayidom Aaron. So says the Ramban something very interesting. He makes an interesting observation. He says, from the fact that the Torah says that Aaron was silent, indicates to us what? Shahaya bocha bekol, that he was crying. He was, see, essentially, if you look back at number 1 for just a moment, what you'll notice is something very interesting. The Torah discusses, again, the death of Aaron's 2 sons. Then it says that Moshe came to Aaron and told him, oh, this is what Hashem said when he meant, or this is what Hashem meant when he said, I will be sanctified by those who are closest to me. And then, Vayidom Aaron was silent. So Ramban understands what was really happening was the following, that Aaron was crying, and crying, wailing, sobbing. Moshe speaks to him. And somehow after Moshe says whatever it is that Moshe said, we'll discuss what Moshe said, Aaron then is quieted. So again, unlike all the other Mefarshim understand, that Vayidom Aaron is reflective of the state that Aaron was in the entire time. Aaron was quiet from the time that his sons died through the speech. Aaron never cried. The Ramban says, no, he was crying bitterly. Moshe speaks to him, and now he's quiet. So take a look at number 19. The question is, so what happened? What happened? According to the Ramban, Aaron's crying, then he's quieted. Why is he quieted? Why does he stop crying? So the Sfarno writes, number 19, Vayidom Aaron, Shehisnachim b'kiddush Hashem shenikdash b'mosam. Very interesting idea. So it says the Sfarno, because he was comforted as a result that his children died, al kiddush Hashem. Now what's the kiddush Hashem? What's the sanctification of God's name in the death of Nadav and Abihu? So the sanctification of God's name lies in the following idea, namely, that when the people saw that Nadav and Abihu died for what we'd consider to be a relatively minor infraction, what it tells us is how careful we have to be with the honor, sanctity, dignity of God and the Mishkan. So their death amplifies the greatness and holiness and sanctity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his home. So says the Sfarno, when Aaron realizes that his children's death created a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name, that idea that they did not die in vain, that their death was purposeful, gave him an achama, gave him consolation. The Medrash writes, same idea number 20, Vayidom Aaron, Hayelo hadavar linechama. Ultimately, again, Aaron was consoled. So what we still hear is an interesting progression. We have the Ramban telling us that Aaron was crying, and then somehow he's quieted. But the Ramban doesn't say why. The Sfarim and the Medrash say, no, it's not just that he's quieted. This is the quiet of what? This is the quiet of consolation. That Aaron is upset, but something happens that suddenly gives him consolation. Where did the consolation come from? Take a look at 21. The Medrash writes, Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, Hu asher diber Hashem le'mor b'krovai HaKadosh. Moshe said to Aaron, this is what God meant when he said, I'll be sanctified by those who are closest to me. By Yudomar, Aaron is quiet. Kevan, look what the Medrash writes. Kevan shera Moshe's Aaron omid v'toel. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Aaron literally standing there. Toha means what? Toha means in shock. Just in shock. Really what it means is wondering. Wondering. He saw him almost in a daze. He was bewildered. Omer, Ka'amar, what did Aaron say? Oy li shekach yaveira biadi ubiad banai. Aaron says, woe to me that I have committed an avera that has brought this upon me, which, by the way, fits very well with the previous approach of the Ksava Kabbalah and the Meshech Chachma. So Aaron is bemoaning the fact, what could I have done so terrible that would have brought this upon me? Nichnas Moshe etzlo v'hayim afayso. Moshe very quickly comes to calm his brother. Amar lo achi. He says, my brother, no. Ze misinai ne'emar li. I already knew this was going to happen already at Har Sinai. Because what happened at Har Sinai? He says, Sha'astar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'kadish es habayis hazeh. Because God, I already knew that God was going to sanctify his home through the death of a great person. This sounds strange to us, but what it actually means is that by a great person dying through not doing something right in the Mishkan is a form of Kiddush Hashem, because what it shows is that you have to approach God with exacting precision. That when you are lifnei Hashem, there is no room for human error at all, no matter how great you are. And that in and of itself is an example or is a manifestation of the greatness and holiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Uba Adam Godol Ani Mikacho, V'hayisi Omer, O Becho HaBayis HaZem Miskadish. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, to be honest, I knew someone was going to die as a result of not doing the right thing on this day of consecration. But says Moshe to Aaron, I thought what? I thought it was either going to be me or you. We're the two greatest people in the nation. Our death through stepping out of line in the Mishkan would have sent a very strong message home to the people that when you are before God, you must act with laser-like precision. You must be exacting in what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of you. Lo meisu, amar lo Aaron achi, lo meisu, but I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing. Va'achshav, nimtza shnei banecha gedolu mimeni u'mimecha. And therefore, says Moshe Rabbeinu, the fact that God chose to teach this lesson, how? Not through me and not through you, but rather how? Through your sons, indicates that what? That your two sons, Nadav and Avihu, are even greater than me and you, Aaron. Kevan sheshama Aaron, when Aaron heard these words of Nechama, these words of consolation from Moshe, miyad shasak. He was quiet, shene emar vayidomar. So according to the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu comforts. Moshe Rabbeinu gives Nechama to his brother, to his grieving brother, by telling his brother that the death of your sons is actually a testament to their greatness. Does that mean that it takes away the pain of Aaron? It doesn't take away the pain. What it does is what? It gives him perspective. It gives him perspective. Now, at least, first of all, I know, again, the most difficult part of loss, especially tragic loss, is a feeling that it's for nothing. So at least number one, Aaron knows that the death was not for nothing. And not only that, but in their death, Aaron begins to see the true greatness of his sons. The Gemara says in number two, same basic idea. He goes on, if you just skip to the end. Amar lo, Aaron achi, lo meisu banecha, elo lahakdish shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu again says, Aaron, your sons died only to sanctify the name of God. Kevan sheyada Aaron shebanav yidui makom him. When Aaron knew that his sons literally were Yidui Makom means they knew God, which means they were close to God. Shasak v'kibel schar. He was quiet, he received reward. Shnemar v'yidum Aaron. So according to the Gemara, what's happening over here is the following. Aaron could go ahead and take the death of his sons to represent the fact that his sons had fallen out of favor with God. What Moshe Rabbeinu tries to convince his grieving brother is that, no, the death of your sons actually represents the fact that your sons were great in the eyes of God. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make a dramatic example of them. This seems to give Aaron a certain degree of nechama. This gives Aaron a certain degree of comfort in knowing, A, that his sons were not killed because they fell out of favor with God. They died in a state of closeness to God. And number two, that their deaths were not meaningless. That their deaths were purposeful and that their deaths conveyed a major message to the greater Jewish people and a message that shapes the way we approach God and the way we worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan and by extension in the Beis HaMikdash. But the truth is, there's another possibility with this. If you take a look at number 23, there's an amazing Gemara. There's an amazing Gemara of Sefer Menachos. So remember again, what I want to specifically draw your attention to is that the Gemara, when it speaks about Vayigam Aaron, says Shasak. Shasak. Aaron was quiet, and that's the term means Vayigam Aaron. He was quiet. He stopped crying. So look at number 23. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, B'sha'a sha'ala Moshe l'marom. When Moshe Rabbeinu ascended to the heavens, he saw that God was literally tying crowns on top of the letters. If you ever look in a Sefer Torah, so you will notice that what? That on the top of the letters, there are like these protrusions. We call them tagim, we call them crowns. So the Gemara literally says, Moshe Rabbeinu ascends to the heavens. This is by Matan Torah. He ascends to the heavens, and he sees the Ribono Shel Olam tying the crowns on top of the letters. Amar lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, Ribono Shel Olam, mi ma'akiv al yadecha? Why are you doing this? Why are you tying the crowns on top of the letters? Look what he says. Amar lo, Adam echad yesh she'asid lihios b'sof kamadoros. There's going to be a great scholar, a great leader in a number of generations from now. Va'akiva ben Yosef Shmo. And his name is Akiva ben Yosef, Rabbi Akiva. And what's going to happen? Sha'asa lidrosh al kol kotz v'kotz tilin shahalachos. So Rabbi Akiva was famous for darshaning, for making halachic and homiletic expositions based on the crowns of the letters and the positioning of the crowns. HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm putting the crowns there because it's going to be a great sage in future generations by the name of Akiva ben Yosef. And he's going to darshan. He's going to extrapolate different ideas and halachos based on the crowns. Okay, so what happened? Amar lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, hareoli. So God, Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to meet this Akiva ben Yosef. Show me him. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember, the great thing about God is God is past, present, and future simultaneously. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'd like to sit in on a shiur given by this Akiva ben Yosef. Let me meet him. So what happens? Amar lo, chazra la'acharecha. So literally God says to Moshe, take a step back. So Moshe, when he takes a step back, what happens? He finds himself in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva. Now remember, nobody knows it as Moshe Rabbeinu because no one knows what Moshe Rabbeinu looks like. So Rabbi Akiva is giving shir in the Beis Medrash and Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting in the back row. Halach v'yasha b'sof shmona shuro. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes and sits at the end of the eighth row. V'lo haya yodea mahin omrin. And Moshe Rabbeinu, listen to this, could not follow the shir. He couldn't follow. He didn't understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying. Now you have to understand something. Tashash kocho, and he got very upset. Now, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying? Understand, for Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah was absolutely clear, right? There was no ambiguity. There was no doubt. So when Rabbi Akiva is teaching, Rabbi Akiva is part of the oral tradition. What is the oral Torah Shabbat? What is Torah Shabbat all about? It's trying to figure out what Torah Shabbat itself, what the written law is about. So we struggle with it. So they have this machlok, it's this dispute and that dispute and this idea and that idea. And the truth is Moshe Rabbeinu has no idea what they're talking about. Can you imagine this? Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting in the shir and he cannot follow the shir. And he's upset. He's upset. How could it be? I am the giver of the Torah. I'm Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm the teacher. I'm the one who gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. And I can't follow a shir of this guy, Akiva ben Yosef. Kevan Shegila Davar Echad. When they got to a particular matter, Amar lo Talmidav, Rabbi Minayin Lecha, so Rabbi Akiva made a statement. And the students asked Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, where did you get this from? Amar lohem, halacha lemoshe misinai. And he responded, oh, this was a law that was given to Moshe at Har Sinai. Nisyashva daito. Moshe Rabbeinu felt much better. Now, we have to say, what was Moshe Rabbeinu upset about? Moshe Rabbeinu was upset that maybe his contribution to Torah would not be felt in future generations. Maybe, you know, my job was to bring it down to the people. And then I kind of, you know, I recede into the shadows and I'm not part of the dynamic process of Torah anymore. When he then hears that the people, quote, oh, this was a halacha that was given to Moshe, transmitted to Moshe at Sinai, he realizes that he indeed is part of the eternal dynamic of Torah, and this makes him happy. Okay. Chazur b'af ne'akadosh baruch hu. So he comes back up to the celestial sphere, he comes back to God. Amar lefan the ribono shel olam, yesh lecha adam kazeh, va'ata nosin Torah, a Torah al yadi. So Moshe Rabbeinu says something amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this Akiva ben Yosef, he's amazing, and he's greater than me. Why, if you have a guy like Akiva ben Yosef, why did you give the Torah to through me? You should have given it through Rabbi Akiva. Imagine that compliment, Rabbi Akiva. Should have given it through Rabbi Akiva. So what does God say to him? Amar lei, shtok. Yeah, very strange. What does shtok mean? Be quiet. Be quiet. Shtok. Such a strange response. Kach ala b'machshav alafanai. This is my plan. Okay, story goes on. Amar lefanai ribono shel olam. Harisani toraso. Herini scharo. So Moshe Rabbeinu then says, God, listen, you show me Rabbi Akiva's Torah. Show me Rabbi Akiva's reward. I have to imagine that there is such incredible reward in this world for such a man like Akiva ben Yosef. Show me his reward. Amar lo, chazor l'acharecha. He says, Moshe, take a step back. Moshe takes a step back. Chazor l'achorav. Ra'a sheshoklin besar b'makul. Remember, Rabbi Akiva is one of the Asar Rugi Machos, is one of the 10 martyrs. Rabbi Akiva died a brutal and barbaric death. They flayed his skin off his body with iron combs. And Moshe Rabbeinu sees this. Amar lefana ribono shel olam, zu Torah vizu schora, could it be possible that this is the reward for those who learn Torah? Amar lein, shtok. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, be quiet. Why? Kach ola b'machshava lefanai. This is my plan. This is my plan. So I saw a beautiful idea by Rav Meir Goldwicht. Rav Meir Goldwicht is one of the Rashi Yeshiva at Yeshiva University. And he questions this Gemara. And he says, what does it mean when the Gemara says shtok? What kind of response is this to Moshe Rabbeinu? And he points out something very interesting. He says, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to convey to Moshe Rabbeinu is that there are times in life that you could only understand, or I should say, there are certain things that you could only understand when you see the whole picture. And you could only see the whole picture when what? When one is quiet. Because when a person is talking, what they're focusing is on what? They're focusing on what they're saying. Sometimes you just need to pay attention to the events around you in order to make sense of them. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe wants to know, why didn't she give the Torah through Rabbi Akiva? So what does he say? Shtok, be quiet, Moshe. Listen, if you want to understand why I do things, you need to take a step back and you need to look at the panoramic view of life. Now, maybe it will make sense to you. Maybe it won't make sense of you. But one thing is for sure, which is if you keep on talking, you'll never understand anything. Be quiet. Take a step back and take in the events around you. Moshe Rabbeinu laments the fact, how could Rabbi Akiva, how could it be? How could it be that he meets such a brutal, barbaric end when he was such a great gadol? Shtok. It's a good question, but stop talking. Be quiet and try to take in. So perhaps, again, that's what's happening over here as well. Aaron sees the death of his beloved children right in front of him. But Aaron is a smart enough man to know that what? It's not random, it's not haphazard, and there's a message and there's a meaning. What is the message? What is the meaning? How will this impact my life and the life of those around me? And what's the answer? What's the answer to that? We don't know yet. And therefore, what do you do when you don't understand what's going on in life? What's the first reaction? Shtok. Vayidom Aaron. Be quiet. Take a step back. Take the panoramic view in life, assess the playing field, see what's going to happen, and give things time to pan out. Because sometimes when traumatic things happen, this is so profound, because what Aaron HaKohen is teaching us is, very often when traumatic events in life occur, what's the first thing we want? What's the first thing we want? Answers. We want answers. We want answers. This is terrible. This is horrible. This is, I didn't deserve this. Why? So what Aaron says is the wise often are not immediately available or understandable. The wise often only come after a significant amount of time. And the wise often come, we often understand the wise, but the wise only come when you take enough time first to analyze the situation, to analyze yourself, to be a little bit shtok, to be a Vayidom Aaron. And it's such a profound lesson, because what Aaron is teaching us through his reaction is that the way to deal with traumatic life events, and by the way, when I say traumatic life events, it's not just loss. What it means is anytime you suffer a setback, often what happens when life doesn't go our way, the first thing we want to know is why. I didn't deserve this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you doing this to me? And what Aaron Cohen teaches us is the first approach to setback, whether the first reaction to setback, whether it's traumatic loss or something else, is what? Vayidom Aaron. Shtok. Be quiet. Don't listen. Listen. Look, because sometimes by analyzing life around you, you'll be able to figure out those answers. It might not be immediately. You might not find those answers for a long time. But if you live life in this contemplative state of shtok, of not just talking, of not just asking, but looking for answers, listening for answers, taking the panoramic view of life, one day you will find those answers. You will find that meaning in those life setbacks. Let me share with you one more approach, and then we'll tie everything together. If you go back now we're going to go back to what I labeled as approach number 3, which is number 12 on your sheet. So here, I want to share with you something that I think is really very interesting. If you take a look at this from the Sefer Turei Torah, he writes, Vayidom Aaron, Rav Lipman Miradomsk, Chosno Shalbal Tiferet Shlomo HaAdmor Miradomsk, Balakotsk, tells the story. So Rav Lipman of the city of Radomsk, who was the son-in-law of the Rebbe Radomsk, the Tiferet Shlomo, once went to Kotsk, the city of Kotsk. Shal Osa Rebbe Mekotsk, Im Hu Yochol HaHagid Lo Dvar Torah B'Shem Chosno. So he asked this Rav Lipman, tell me, can you tell me over a Vart? Can you tell me over a Torah idea in the name of your father-in-law, the Tiferet Shlomo? Amar Rav Lipman, Chosni, my father-in-law said the following. Chazal merimim al neis shtikaso shal Aaron, al mos nadav aviyu. Virashi b'shem Torah skonim, maybe sh'arun ki baschar shtikaso. Umaschar, sh'nesiachit imo adibor shtemar alavada par shtuye yayin. So he said, you know, my father-in-law points out that Chazal, the rabbis, praise Aaron for his silence. They praise Aaron. Aaron didn't complain. Aaron didn't cry, according to most opinions. He was just, and so Chazal, the rabbis, praise him for his silence. But the Tiferet Shlomo says something amazing. Aval yoser gadol mashnemar etzel David. But there's something even greater than Aaron's silence. And that's what was said by King David. Because what does it say by King David? Leman yizamercha kavod velo yidom. What does it say by David HaMelech? Take a look at number 13. David HaMelech says, so that my soul will sing praises to you and not be silent. I will never be silent. Hashem Elokai, the Olam Odeka. O Lord, my God, I will thank you forever. So he finishes, he says, Afilu ba'atzmas hatzar v'akev, him shichlomar lizamer el Hashem, v'lo yidom kein, davar niflam arav mikas. Listen to this. So Tiferet Shlomo says something beautiful. She says, everyone praises Aaron because Aaron was silent. But you know who is even greater than Aaron? Even greater than Aaron was David HaMelech. Why? Because Aaron was silent. What does Aaron's silence mean? He didn't cry. He didn't complain. But you know what was even greater than Aaron? David HaMelech. Because what did David HaMelech do? Even when David HaMelech was suffering, even when he was having difficulty, what did he do? He kept singing. You see, Aaron was quiet and didn't complain. Okay, that's one level. Even a greater level is that David HaMelech kept singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He kept praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He kept a passionate, engaged relationship with God, even when life was difficult. So I think that we could understand this a little bit differently. And what I would suggest is that David wasn't greater than Aaron. But in fact, David HaMelech learned from Aaron. How so? Take a look at number 14. If we move forward in this story, after the loss of Aaron's two sons, so what happens? We have again, Vayomer Moshe el Aaron ve'elazar v'litamar banav, Rasheichem al tifro, u'bigdeichem lo tifromu, v'lo tamusu v'akola ide yirto, v'acheichem kol beis Yisrael yivku as asreifa, asher saraf Hashem. So Moshe Avinu tells Aaron and his remaining sons the following. You may not tear your clothing. You may not allow your hair to grow. You essentially, you can't mourn. The people will mourn. you cannot. Umi Pesach Oel Moed Lo Teitzu Pentamusu. You can't even leave the Mishkan. Don't leave the Mishkan. If you leave the Mishkan, you're going to die. Kishem and Mishchas Hashem Aleichem Vaya'asu Kidvar Moshe. Because the anointing oil of God is on your head, and they did as Moshe asked. And this always bothered me. Why can't they mourn? It almost seems cruel. Here, Aaron just lost his sons. Eleazar and Itamar lost their brothers. And Moshe says, you can't mourn. You have to go on with business as usual. You have a job, and you have to keep doing it. The people will mourn. Don't worry. Your sons will be mourned. But you cannot mourn. Why not? Take a look at number 15. We quoted this passage before. Earlier in the parasha, before Nadav and Abihu died. So the Torah says, Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, Krav el HaMizbeach. Come close to the altar. Remember again, we said before, Aaron was reticent to come close to the Mizbeach. Again, the way we said it before is because he was nervous about the sin of the golden calf. Look what Rashi says in number 16. Krav el HaMizbeach. Amar lo Moshe, Lama atabosh. Aaron, why are you reticent? Why are you nervous to come forward? Lekach nivcherto. You were chosen for this. In other words, what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Excuse me. What was Moshe saying to Aaron? Aaron, you have to understand something. It's not the pshat that, you know, that the other guys backed out of the Kohen Gadol competition. And so you're the last guy standing, so we chose you. This is your destiny. You were chosen for this. You were created for this. Your whole life has led you to this. Don't be Moshe. Don't be reticent. You could do this job. How do you know you could do this job? Because you were chosen for this job. This is your destiny. And perhaps what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Aaron and his sons in number 14 is, the fact that you are the Kohen Gadol, is not simply a job. It's a destiny. And when it comes to matters of destiny, you can't allow anything to derail you. When there is something in life that you know that you have to do, you have to keep surging forward no matter what happens. Aaron, you are the Kohen Gadol, and you are the Kohen Gadol in every single way. You are the man who connects the people to the Shekhinah and connects the Shekhinah to the people. You are the man who creates and maintains spiritual equilibrium. You are the man who will introduce Shalom to the ranks of Klal Yisrael. That is your destiny. It's not a job. It's not a 9-to-5 thing. It's not something you do on the side as a hobby. It's not something you do, you know, as a way of self-fulfillment. It's who you are. It's what you are. Because it's your destiny, nothing can stop you from actualizing it. The people will mourn. You cannot. Because to mourn would mean that you're taking a break from fulfilling your destiny. And in life, you can never run the risk of getting derailed from what it is that you're supposed to do. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, the people will mourn. You can't leave Oel Moed. It's not Moshe Rabbeinu being cruel. It's not Moshe Rabbeinu being unfeeling. It's Moshe Rabbeinu saying to Aaron that when you have a destiny in life, you have to fulfill it and you cannot get derailed. And in fact, this is why I believe that Aaron was the inspiration for David HaMelech. If you take a look at number 17, so if you look at the Malbim says, look at the last two lines. He says, "V'im kein, acher she'ikar hatachlis she'ba'avuro hechiyisi osi, haya kedei she'ezamer lecha." So then Allah says, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, I realize now that the whole point of my existence was that I should sing to you. I should sing. I should sing songs to you in good times, and I should sing beautiful tefillin in difficult times. That's my tachlis. Gam ani esekein. I commit to you to always do it." V'Hashem Elokai li'olam odeka. What is David HaMelech saying? Kadosh Baruch Hu, I realize that my tachlis is to sing. I realize that my tachlis is to write the Tehillim. I realize that my tachlis is to connect with you no matter how difficult the situation. And because it is my tachlis, because it is my purpose, because it is my destiny, no matter what happens, I will not get derailed. So as the Teferet Shlomo said, that David was greater than Aaron, because whereas Aaron was silent in the face of adversity and did not complain, David kept singing. I think it's just the opposite. I think that David took his cue from Aaron HaKohen. Aaron is silent, but Aaron's silence is not just a withdrawal. Aaron's silence is not a giving up. Aaron's silence is not simply the absence of complaining. What does Aaron's silence represent? It represents an unequivocal, unshakable commitment to actualizing his destiny. I am the Kohen Gadol. His silence means I'm not going to mourn. I'm not going to mourn for my sons. I might mourn in here, but I'm not going to mourn externally. Why? Because anything other than being the Kohen Gadol derails me from my life mission. I am singularly focused in actualizing and accomplishing the one thing that the Ribono Shel Olam put me on this earth to do. David HaMelech says generations later, L'mayni zamercha kavod v'lo yidom. I'm going to be like Aaron. I'm also not going to be silent. And how do I actualize my mission? I'm always going to sing. No matter what happens in life, I will not be drowned. I think this message is so incredibly profound. Because you see, my friends, you know what happens in life is, you know, sometimes we don't know what our destiny is, per se. We don't know what exactly I'm here for, but we know there are things that we have to accomplish. And what happens? What happens to us? But we get derailed. We get derailed. And sometimes we get derailed for very legitimate reasons. We get derailed because we have family responsibilities. We get derailed because we have work responsibilities. We get derailed because I get sick. I get this. I get that. All kinds of things. And you know, to wake up one day and what's happened? I've lost decades. Why? Now, I wasn't sitting on the couch twiddling my thumbs, but I allowed myself to get derailed from the things I have to do. Vayidom Aaron means that if you know there's something you need to accomplish in life, you need to stick with it. You need to see it through no matter what happens. There's always going to be challenge. There's always going to be adversity. There's always going to be setback. There's always going to be turbulence. And yes, sometimes there's tragedy as well. That's part and parcel of the fabric of the human condition. But our job is to keep surging forward. Our job is to keep our eye on the ball. I know what I have to do. I know what I have to accomplish. And nothing is going to derail me. So Vayidom Aaron is not just simply the absence of complaining. It's not just simply the absence of crying. Vayidom Aaron means, Aaron, what does he do? He silenced everything else in his life. He silenced his need to mourn. He silenced his feelings of loss. He silenced everything other than what? Than his role as Kohen Gadol. Because to be successful in life, to be successful as a Jew, to be successful in actualizing one's destiny, one has to be focused on accomplishing my life mission no matter what happens. So if we bring everything together, we see that from these two words, Vayidom Aaron, we emerge with some incredibly fantastic and profound insights. So first of all, again, we saw in our first Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Bachaya and Rabbi Sachs, that sometimes the first approach to traumatic loss is just silence. It's just silence that a person, it's normal after tragic loss to be bewildered, to not know what to do with myself. We then saw again the second approach, the Ksava HaKabbalah, the Meshech Chachma, and others who explain that Aaron is absolute acceptance. Absolute acceptance. Why does Aaron have absolute acceptance about the loss of his sons? Why? Because he feels deep down that maybe I have a hand in it. If I recognize that this is the final chapter in the Sin of the Golden Calf story, this was the punishment, and it's the Egel Asher Asa Aaron, I have responsibility. And there's an incredible lesson in that as well. You know, again, we don't necessarily say that when bad things happen, it's because I did something wrong. But at the same time, when life doesn't go right, it's important for a person to ask themselves, did I contribute to this in some way? Did I have a hand in creating these circumstances? Or did I exacerbate these circumstances? Did I amplify the negativity of these? It's hard. Because a lot of times we like to deflect responsibility when things don't go right. What we learn from Aaron is when things don't go right in life, a person has to begin by looking inward and just asking themselves a difficult question. And did I somehow contribute to the negativity of these circumstances? Third approach in Vayidom Aaron, which was labeled as the fourth approach, which was what? That the way to deal with adversity and setback is how? How? One word. Shtok. Shtok. We so often, when things don't go our way, we question and we object and we lament. And sometimes a person has to just be quiet. Because what's amazing is if you're quiet and you take a step back, like it's Moshe Rabbeinu, take a step back, sometimes you'll see things in a different light. Talk a little less, look a little more. And sometimes the answers that we want in life will be found. Just like Aaron HaKohen, he's silent. And then what does he realize? Okay, Chet HaEgel. Children, Dar al Kiddush Hashem, I understand, it hurts no less, but at least I have an understanding as to why things happen. And finally, our last approach, which was approach number three on our sheet, that really we see again, Vayidom Aaron was the building block for David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, L'mai yizamercha kavod v'lo yidom. But David's v'lo yidom, David's I won't be silent, and Aaron's Vayidom are really one and the same. Both men represented an allegiance and a commitment to the actualization of a life mission, no matter what. And that lesson is so profound and true for us as well. There are things we have to do. There are things we have to accomplish. There are people we have to become. There are milestones we have to reach. And we have to be so careful to never get derailed on the journey of life. It's so easy to get derailed. A bad day could derail a person. One setback could derail a person. Loss derails a person. Illness derails a person. And what we learned from Aaron HaKohen, Vayidom Aaron, Aaron silenced everything because he knew that he had a mission to accomplish. David HaMelech, L'man Yizamercha, I'm going to sing. I'll never be silent. Why? Because I know I have a mission to accomplish. And that's the message for us as well. That we have to identify, first of all, things we have to accomplish in life. And after we identify the things we want to do, we have to make the commitment to ourselves and the commitment to the Ribono Shel Olam to accomplish them no matter what. There will always be things that will derail us. There will always be challenges. There will always be setbacks. Our job is to see our life mission through, to actualize our goals, to actualize our ideals, no matter how difficult or no matter how turbulent the life circumstances may be. All right, we'll stop over here. Just one quick announcement on the back of your packet tank. You'll notice starting next week, we're going to have we're going to have a two-part shiur on the Haggadah. So that'll be for the next 2 weeks. And then after that, we're going to be stopping for Pesach, and the Meretz Hashem will resume afterwards.
Thank you.